All right, well, Merry Christmas to you. We're so glad that you're here to join with us today. Well, we've been talking about celebrating Christmas. Last week, we started talking about Christmas traditions and how so many times Christmas traditions are associated with a location. You know, some of us, we always go to our parents every Christmas. We always go to our grandparents every Christmas. Some of us always go see the Nutcracker at Christmas. Some of us always watch, you know, It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas, or, you know, like at my house, it wouldn't be Christmas without Elf, right? I mean, Christmas traditions, and a lot of times, it's about a location. Sometimes it's about a particular church service. Going and celebrating Christmas in a particular place. But we said to you last week, and we're going to say this to you over and over and over again, it's not so much about the Christmas traditions and where we celebrate Christmas. But what does the Christmas story do for us? What does the Christmas story do for you? What kind of emotion does it evoke in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit when you see that first Christmas light or that first nativity scene, or you get that first call from your grandchildren or whatever, and they just share something with you that just, you know, that's just wonderful. Matter of fact, talking about kids calling, I got a call last night from my grandson, Jack. He called me, and he was sitting on his mom's lap. It was bedtime, and she was reading a Christmas story to him, and I was FaceTiming with him on the phone, and I said, "Hello, Jack, how are you?" And he said, "Hi, Pappy, I love you." And I said, "I love you too, buddy." And his mother said, "Jack, what did you want to ask Pappy?" And Jack said, "You ask him." And Sarah said, "No, you wanted to call him. You ask him." And Jack was like, "No." And finally, Sarah talked him in to asking me what was on his mind. So this is what he said. He said, "Pappy, why doesn't my belly have hair on it like yours does?" Now, for the life of me, I thought he was going to ask me for some particular gift. I thought he was going to tell me about what his mother was reading to him. I didn't know what was going on, but I must tell you, I wasn't ready for that one at all. But you know, a lot of times it's that Christmas tradition, and I can just see that question being asked now every year from now on, right? But it's not so much about the Christmas traditions as it is about what we experience at Christmas, and even more than that, how we respond at Christmas. This Christmas season here at First Church, we're taking a journey. Last week, we started at a small home in Nazareth. It says that the angel Gabriel came and spoke to a young maiden virgin girl and told her that she was with child, and that she was going to have a child, and it was going to be a boy, and he was going to be the Savior of the world. Can you imagine that message to a small, ordinary home in Nazareth? Today we're going to travel quite a bit south of Nazareth. Then we're going to visit an ornate temple in Jerusalem. Next week we'll be on a grassy hillside outside Bethlehem, and Christmas Eve we'll be in a damp stable in Bethlehem. But today we're going to visit the temple in Jerusalem. A matter of fact, I have a picture here of what the temple looked like during the time of Jesus. You know, the temple was it was the place where God resided. It was the place where God's people gathered, where God's people worshiped, and where they sacrificed, and where the Holy of Holies was located, and where the presence of God was there between the wings of the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. And this was the place where God's people would go, and that they would experience the presence of God. And it was during the birth of Jesus Christ when an episode happened in the temple that I want to highlight with you here today. You know, last week I shared with you how how it was during the message on the virgin birth on Christmas Eve that one of the young men here at the church came up to me and said how he was moved by finally realizing what the virgin birth was all about. And there's a lot of times in life that we come to the place, to a place of worship, and we have this moment, this epiphany, this light bulb going off, this experience that wells up out of our heart, and we are convinced of something grand. You know, that happens a lot of times in churches, in places of worship. But I've found that most of the time when that happens, it usually happens to just a couple of people. Because the vast majority of the people in that location, they won't experience the same thing that maybe just a couple experience. And that's what's happening here at this first Christmas time. It's a story that we read about in Luke chapter 2. It starts in verse 25 and goes down through verse 38. It's an interesting part of the Christmas story because it tells us about these prophets, a prophet named Simeon and a prophet named Anna. And in separate moments, they both describe this experience they have when they encounter Jesus as a young boy. He's brought to the temple to be dedicated, to be circumcised. And it was this time that these two, Simeon and Anna, experienced Jesus. But they have an experience that no one else there probably has. I think a lot of that is because they were expecting something. They were looking for something to happen. If you read the text, and we'll look at this a little bit closer in just a moment, but you'll see that Simeon speaks up and starts talking about this child and who he is and what he stands for and what God is going to do through him. And then you have this experience with Anna, who's also described as a prophet. And it says here that she has this same moment of epiphany when she realizes who this child is. And you know what? It's not everyone in the room who understands who the child is. So for us here today, let's take a look at a few phrases from this text and let it teach us who this child really was. In verse number 36, we read about Anna, and it says that she was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. Now, why is it important that the author would mention this lady's father and the tribe from which she came? I think the same reason that last week when we talked about how the angel Gabriel spoke to this young maiden woman in Nazareth, what good can come from Nazareth, Nathanael said. And the same is true about this. We know that there are the greater tribes of Israel. You know, we know it tells us who Jesus was going to come from through the lineage of David. But here it mentions the tribe of Asher, one of the lesser tribes for sure. But I think what he's trying to tell us here was that even though she was insignificant in light of maybe a lot of other people and a lot of other places and in a lot of other places of authority, she was the one that got it. She was the one that understood. She was the one that recognized Jesus for who he was at this time when his mother and father, Joseph and Mary, had brought him to the temple. Now it goes on and it says something else about her in verse number 37. It says that she never left the temple, but stayed there day and night. Now imagine that. Imagine that. Here's this woman and she's at the temple, and she never leaves. She stays there day and night. Think about that. Think about the dedication of that. You see, I think we fail to see the beauty of that. I know a lot of times, you know, like this Christmas Eve, our Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year. So we're having four services here at First Church. We're having a service at 10 a.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. All four services will be the same. It'll be different. It won't be like you go to church in the morning and then come back for a Christmas Eve service. You just choose one of those four services. They'll all be identical, mostly, in how they're presented. But a lot of times on Christmas Eve, I've had this happen before. You know, I'll run into somebody, maybe somebody that doesn't go here to church, we're there pretty much all day. And you know what they say a lot of times? Not every time, but sometimes. They say, "I'm so sorry." And for the life of me, I'm like, sorry? Now it does get tiring sometimes, and we have lots of volunteers that are here that whole time as well. But it's not something to say that you're sorry. You know, imagine that. You know, I can see this happening with this lady, and somebody says, "Well, you know, what do you do here?" And she says, "I'm always here. Don't ever leave. Day and night. Take my meals. Sleep right over there. Why are you always here?" Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the coming of the Messiah. One day he's going to be brought into this temple, and I'm going to be ready. I'm going to recognize him. And I could see somebody saying, "You don't ever leave? Don't ever leave." I said, "Well, I'm so sorry." Sorry? This was her life's work. This was her calling. This was why she is here. So we should not feel bad for her. This is what she desired. This is what her calling was all about. And then there's one more in verse 38. It says of her that she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting, to everyone who was there. Think about it. To Anna, there was only one subject to Christmas, and that was to talk about the child and who he was and who his real father was and what his name was going to be or was and what it meant and what he was going to do for everyone who trusts in him. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting. You know what, folks? I think that should be the desire of our heart. It's to share what we know of Jesus with everyone that we are around at Christmas time. Oh, yes, I think we should do as she did. And we should be so in tune with whose we are and the family that we come from. Not just the traditions that we have with our earthly family, but that we are made in the image of God, that we are the children of God. And just as she was from the tribe of Asher and she longed for the coming of the Lord, we too. And then that she never left, and that we should always understand the reason that we're here. To bring glory and honor to God, to enjoy Him forever, to help people fall in love with Jesus. And we should just talk about that child to everyone who is waiting. You see, folks, Christmas isn't just about our Christmas traditions. It's not just about where we celebrate Christmas. It's not just about location. But it's about, like we said last week, it's about our response. Remember last week we talked about how Mary, after the angel had answered her questions, had assured her that God was a part of this. Mary said what? It said that Mary responded and said to the angel, May it be unto me exactly as God has described. And then today, we have Simeon, we have Anna. who seems to also be all about their response. You see, Anna could have been like anyone else at the temple that day and just let Joseph and Mary walk in and do the things that they had to do to dedicate their son to God, and then could have let him just walk out and never, no one have ever have been the wiser as to what was going on in the temple that day. But it was because in the way that she responded was the reason that people heard about Jesus that particular day. So I say to all of you here this morning, I say to myself and to anyone that is thinking about Christmas and about the traditions of Christmas and about the places where you celebrate Christmas, make sure that it's about more than that, that it's about your response to the Christmas message. Don't let Christmas pass without it moving your heart and spirit to share with others about this child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is such a joy to know you, to love you, to experience you, to celebrate, Father, Christmas in the way that makes it the most beautiful, the most meaningful. And God, we all have our traditions. We hang our lights a certain way. We set our trees in a certain place. We have ornaments that we put on first. We have ornaments that we save to the very last. We have songs that we sing. We have places that we visit, whether it be our own home or a loved one's home or even an ornate place of worship like we see Simeon and Anna today. And God, I pray that in our lives that Christmas will be so much more than just traditions and places. But Lord, it'll be about how we feel. It'll be about our heart and our soul being connected to who you are and what you've done. So we pray, Lord, that as we sing this wonderful song of a desire for faithful people to come and celebrate the Christ child, Lord, may we do just that. And then, Lord, may we be like that annoying grandparent that just won't keep quiet about their newest edition. And Lord, may we tell all that we come in contact with about the beauty and the wonder of this child and of this birth. In His name we pray. Amen.